We read in Daniel chapter 9, in the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So, therefore, I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with Him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord. On the front of your bulletin, there's a picture. It's not of John the Baptist or Jesus. Our desire is that you would think of Daniel praying. Our message is entitled, Daniel Prayed. I believe God has given us this colorful picture of Daniel praying. You remember Daniel in chapter 6, that decree that was issued against those who would pray to any other god except that God set up by the Babylonians. Daniel continued to pray. Morning, noon, and night, there he opened his windows. He prayed to the God of heaven. If there's any picture that is given to us of Daniel, it's Daniel. He prayed. And God tells us, even in the New Testament, that He has given to us these examples, that we can look to these who are men and women who are as examples for us. They give warning to us, but they also give encouragement to us. As Paul speaks of them, he tells us these things. Daniel prayed. And we need to realize that that of prayerlessness as Christians, prayerlessness is a sin against God, and it is a sin that can find no excuse whatsoever. We can say, I believe, in all truthfulness, that the neglect of prayer is that eats away at any Christian. It's like a termite that eats out the inside of a Christian. When we have been prayer without praying, we are without strength. God calls us to prayer. Daniel prayed. That grand preacher of the 19th century, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, said, prayer meetings are the lungs of the church. And I believe that is a great reality. How we pray determines how we breathe spiritually. So we come to this important chapter in the middle of all these prophetic things, in the midst of all this that is about great visions and great kingdoms and all the world kingdoms being prophesied that are going to come and go. Daniel prayed. And I really have but one point this morning about Daniel's prayer life. There are many things that we will bring up about prayer in this chapter on other Lord's Day mornings. But this morning, I would bring to you but one point. This is not a three-point sermon. This is one point. Daniel prayed with the Word of God in his hands. God's Word was in his mind. God's Word was in his heart. He pored over the scrolls of the prophets. Jeremiah, Isaiah, he was reading the Word of God. Now think for a moment with me about this man, Daniel. This was the one that God had given this amazing gift. Yes, he had dreams and visions. Yes, when the kings, the great kings, had their dreams, Daniel is the one who's called in. This is the one who has a greater gift than anyone else on the face of the earth to know the will of God. But he's poring over the scrolls, the Word of God. There's no one here this morning. No one that's in the same class with Daniel. I don't care what your gift is, what your discernment is. No one is in that class with Daniel as a prophet. But Daniel studied the Word of God. When he prayed, we're given that very element of Daniel in his prayers. Yes, here with all the elements of being an important man, a ruler, it tells us, I, Daniel, understood from the Scriptures, according to the Word of the Lord, given to the prophet Jeremiah. He studied the Word of God. That's the first picture that I want you to see as we look at this point this morning. He prayed with the Word of God in his hand. That's a good pattern for any of us. Whether you're here as a Christian or you're here and you really have never come to Christ, get God's Word in your hands and pray. I'm convinced one of the reasons we don't pray is because we don't have the Word of God in our hands enough. If it's in our mind, we can be praying constantly. If it's in our heart and in our lives, in our hands, we can pray with the Word of God. You see, we have a mistaken notion of what prayer is in our day. Prayer to most people is just casting out your own thoughts, going out there somewhere, somehow. And then whatever your needs are, and God becomes something of a bellboy that you hope will rush and get these things all taken care of, and health and wealth and happiness will all come your way. Prayer, what a wonderful thing. Just believe. But real prayer, according to God's Word, is not something that is invented by us, but rather it is based upon the Word of God. It comes out from the Scriptures. It's based on the promises of God. What God has said. What God has promised. Notice, it tells us here, in the first year of the rule of Darius the Mede, Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, is gone. That kingdom passes away. But Daniel is reading. He's studying his Bible, as we would say. He's in exile. He came to Babylon. If you'll remember, as we went through chapter 1 of Daniel, we believe that he came as the other young boys, and the custom of the Babylonians was to take the very finest of those they conquered and to take them at the age of about 14. And by the math that we have from knowing this to be the first year of Darius' rule, we have some 68 years have passed that Daniel is in Babylon. And if we add that together with some of the help of our mathematicians here, I'm sure you'll come up with 82 or thereabouts. 82 years old. And he's asking the question, how long, Lord? You've promised to restore your people, yes, to their land. How many years? And he comes across it in Jeremiah. And the promise had to do that the people, after that captivity, they would return to the land after 70 years. Here it is, God's promise. His word is true. Mark it down. God has said it. What does Daniel do? God's promised it. Let's take her easy here. We've got this thing worked out. We can kind of set back and we don't need to work about it. We don't need to pray about it. God's going to do it. Hey, put your hands in your pocket and it's just take her easy. What happens? What does it tell us? What is it communicating when it speaks about sackcloth and ashes? When it speaks about fasting and prayers? Suddenly, God's going to do something. It doesn't look like it. Here are the people. They deserve God's wrath. But God's promised something. Therefore, so I prayed. There's a beautiful sense in which we have in the book of Daniel that emphasis upon what we would call the sovereignty of God. If you begin and read through the book of Daniel, you'll find no theme so emphasized. Even the pagan kings say, for all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And what is it? Our God does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of men. No one can stay His hand or say to Him, what are you doing? God is God. His sovereignty marches all through the book, every page. And yet, is there any book that so gives to us a picture of prayer like Daniel prayed? Daniel believed in the sovereignty of God. He believed in the absolute sovereignty of God. But Daniel prayed. Here were the promises of God in his hand from the prophet Jeremiah, and you can turn to that passage and read it very clearly, and it's amazing. He saw God's promise, and then he prays fervently. It really has been, I'm sure, a question that some of you have had put to you, those of you who have believed in the sovereignty of God in an absolute sense, that God is sovereign over all things. I've had that question put to me ever since those college days when I first had God open my eyes to a little bit of the awesomeness of His sovereignty. They'd say to me, Adams, how is it if God is sovereign that you even pray anymore? How is it if God has ordained all things that are going to come to pass, why do we need to pray anymore at all? Maybe a few of you have had that question put to you. We could put it to Daniel. He had the Word of God in his hands, and there was the promise of God, and therefore he prayed, O Lord, do your will. Why pray if God has ordained everything according to His will? God's Word tells us the answer in Daniel's life and study. God foreordained that release of the people of God from exile and the return of His people to the land after those 70 years. They were to return, and we would be wrong and sinful. Our reasoning would be insanity if we said, therefore we don't depend on God in prayer. Therefore we don't cry out to Him, Lord, do your will. Verse 3 is where he has that important point. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with Him in prayer and petition, in fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And then we have his prayer. I come to you this morning. Don't somehow or another have in your mind that hazy idea that because God says He will provide, that therefore you're not to work. Therefore you can kind of sit back and say, well, God said He'll provide, and I can just get up about 9:30 tomorrow morning and have breakfast in a leisurely way until about 11, and then we'll just see what maybe we can do, a little this and that and the other, and won't even head into work at all. Don't have anything to do. God will provide. That would be insanity. God calls us, yes, to trust in Him. He will provide. But we're to work with our hands. God calls us to trust in His promises. Therefore, pray fervently for His will to be done. God has promised to bring salvation to a people throughout all the world, every tribe and language and people, all the nations of the earth. We are to pray. We are to pray. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to us. Therefore, sit back, take it easy. Don't take the gospel to those people. Wrong. Therefore, go. Take the gospel to your next door neighbor. Therefore, you pray for your children before they're born, while they're still in the womb. Therefore, you labor, you teach, you work with those all around you. You make disciples. God's word tells us that Jesus is coming again. But we don't merely sit back and do nothing. We pray for the salvation, for the extension of His kingdom. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. We pray that as God has promised that He would come with the myriads of angels, yes, we pray for His coming and power to be shown. Here is where Daniel found excitement to pray, to labor in prayer with God. Here is a man who prays with all his heart, trusting the word of God that he had in his hand. And he read, God has said that after 70 years, we go home. That's a divine promise. Therefore, I will pray. In a short time, Darius the Mede will be gone, and Cyrus will stand up and announce that the Jews are to return to their land. God had ordained that. God had promised it. But He accomplishes it through the prayers of His people. God's word, yes, promised it. Yes, Daniel prayed for it, and it came to pass. Daniel prayed with God's word in his hands. We are to pray with God's word in our hands. I ask you this morning, do you pray with God's word in your hands? Is it something that you read and study and then cry to the Lord as you read and study that word? God has decreed the salvation of His people. That will come to pass. That is a great promise, a reality. The Lord has a people all over the earth, and they are coming to Him in all these different places. It is good news. Some here this day, they've listened to the gospel and they're saying, oh, I'm not right in this yet. I've really got all these other things. God can bring you to Christ today. Even while you're thinking about other things, He can interrupt your life and bring you to Christ. But He does that through the prayers of His people. A faithful mother praying for her children. A dad who, even as he goes and labors, he's thinking and praying. God's word promises these things. Here is what I'm going to teach. Here, oh Lord, work in my little boy's heart. Work in his heart that he won't be taken into the darkness of this world. He's praying. He's praying. God has not only ordained all things that come to pass, but He's ordained that those things come to pass through our prayers. Amazing. Amazing. Turn with me to those beautiful words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thinking of the Apostle Paul, how he labored more than any others, and yet if you read Romans chapter 9, no one so believes in the sovereignty of God like the Apostle Paul. Absolute sovereignty. But at the same time, here is the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. He speaks of how, though he is in difficult circumstances, he says, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. He labored more than all the others. He poured His life and heart. He prayed. He bowed His knee to the Father. There was a zeal. Not to change God. What a foolish thought. I'm going to change God. The Lord says, I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore the sons of men are not consumed. God's grace is there. And we come to Him and we plead as He accomplishes His will. We don't neglect prayer as we pray for our families, our children, our parents, our loved ones, our neighbors, the Rendili tribe. That God will do that work we can't do. We can't bring salvation to our children, but He can. We work, we labor, we pray, and He takes those things and He answers our prayers. Oh, there's that place of corporate prayer that Tim mentioned just a little bit ago. We gather together and we pray together. There's that private prayer, but it's having the Word of God in our hands, in our minds, in our very lives, and we pray based upon the promises of God. Daniel prayed morning, noon, and night, even if it would cost him his life. I ask you this morning, are you alive in Christ? If you are, you pray. There's something of that reality that you cry out, Abba, Father. There's a spirit of prayer within you. You pray to the Lord. I ask you, do you pray? Will you pray this morning? Daily. Hourly. Have you prayed with God's Word? We have a whole library of books. We have a whole wall of books that are good books, some on prayer, many others telling about who God is, that are helps in how we pray. God's Word in our hands, we are to be a praying people. Temptations overcome you? Have you been there and you've gone down because of a temptation? It's drawn you in. You're ashamed. You've fallen again. You've messed up that day. You need God's Word in your hand. I'm convinced we're overcome with the temptations of this world because we don't pray as we should. And we don't pray as we should because we don't have God's Word in our hands as we should. The Word of God gives us the foundation to pray. Have you prayed? Let's bow before the Lord in prayer. As we are bowed before the Lord, I would ask you to remember that He is that majestic and holy, 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 sovereign Lord. In all of His majesty, He loves to hear you cry to Him for mercy and grace. Lord, save me. I've written out just a couple of prayers here as I was thinking as we would pause before God. And I would ask those of you who are searching for truth that you would pray this prayer even to the Lord Jesus. I admit that I am weaker and more sinful than I ever before believed, but through you I am more loved and accepted than I ever dared hope. I thank you for paying my debt, bearing my punishment on the cross, and offering forgiveness and new life. knowing that you've been raised from the dead, I turn from my sins and receive you as Savior and Lord. Cry out to Him right now if you've never really come to pray before. Lord Jesus, you've called us to follow you in baptism and in a life committed discipleship in your church. Grant that I may take the necessary steps to be one with your people and live in the fullness of your Spirit. Father, we pray for all those here this day who don't know you, who have never really cried out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. That you would open their hearts and eyes, open their mouth, that they would cry out to you for salvation. And then, Lord, teach us as your people to pray as Daniel prayed. Make us, O Lord, by your amazing grace, a praying people. Teach us what it is to forgive one another and to pray. In Jesus' name, amen.